Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
You know, I don't know if you've ever had to write a farewell speech before. Maybe for you it was a letter of resignation. Maybe you got hired somewhere else and you had to say goodbye to your boss, your coworkers, or maybe even your parents, if you had to move long distance. Twice, I've had to do that. In fact, very much what Paul is doing in our passage today, and that is say goodbye to men and women I've loved and ministered to and served alongside with for years. And both times were very, very painful. Even when people, after I explained in those board meetings and during those worship services, how God was leading, and they accepted it. But honestly, I've never accepted it fully. I mean, I miss those people. That's one of the blessings and the curses of ministry, getting attached to people, and then sometimes having to say goodbye. And during both of those transitions, and in the years that have followed, I have hoped that, one, those churches were blessed by my having been there. And secondly, that my ministry will have produced lasting fruit. And if God ever calls me to leave the church I'm pastoring now, if so, hopefully many years down the road, I want to leave the church thriving, growing, and anchored deeply in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Well, that's the situation that we find Paul in our passage today here in Acts chapter 20. He and his team, they've arrived at Miletus and are probably waiting for their ship to be unloaded and reloaded. And so the elders of the Ephesian church he had helped start, they come to see him for what Paul knows will be the very last time. And so he wants to encourage them, exhort them, and so he gives this beautiful farewell speech to these Ephesian elders. And it's a very special speech because it's the only record that we have of a speech that Paul gave specifically to believers. And in it, we have three primary themes. First, Paul defends his behavior, but even more so, he's able to present it as an example to the Ephesian elders. Secondly, Paul presents both a charge and a warning to them. And third, Paul commits these Ephesian elders to God and to his word. And so those three elements, they kind of form the outline of our discussion today and in the weeks ahead. Go ahead and look with me at the very first section of Paul's speech here in Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 38. Starting with verse 17, it says, "From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And so in this first section, we find Paul relating to the Ephesian elders the example he has set. And in Paul's example, we see him highlighting four major things in his example that he wanted the Ephesian elders to emulate. And the first was that he had identified with the people, having lived among them, we see in verse 18. He knew what their own personal struggles were, and he identified with them in those struggles, much as Jesus himself did. He had served God with humility and tears, going from house to house. And he did that because in doing that, he was able to identify what his people's own personal needs were, and then share specific points of the gospel message that were directly relevant to their own situation. He didn't have this one-size-fits-all approach to ministry. No, he knew his people. And what that shows us is that he was very available to people, which we see not only in this passage, but also earlier in this chapter, while he was in Troas, where he spent a whole night eating with, chatting with, and teaching the believers there. He wasn't just a preacher who comes and preaches and leaves and nobody really cares. No, he was a shepherd, a pastor who was deeply involved with his people. Which is why we see people grieving whenever and from wherever he leaves. Now, the second element of Paul's example was that he was a teacher. He identified what the Ephesians needed to hear, and he taught them constantly, both publicly and from house to house. He wanted to make sure that they were fully equipped to be able to endure in their faith in the midst of a very pagan, very worldly context. And the third element of Paul's example was that he was a witness to the gospel. And the Greek word behind this word witness, it actually means declared. And it carries the idea that evangelism is a very serious and awesome responsibility, because in it, you are calling people to repent of their sins and turn to faith in Jesus Christ. Both in this verse, but also in verses 26 to 27, there's this reminder to us that we are called to be watchmen. We have an awesome responsibility to warn people of God's coming judgment and implore them to seek life in Jesus Christ. And in Paul's talking about his being innocent of the blood of all men, he's drawing directly from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, particularly chapters 3 and 33. Just to give you a glimpse, listen to the words of just the first part of Ezekiel chapter 3. It says, "Now it came to pass, at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." And so what Paul is saying here is that he has been a faithful watchman. He's been faithful to warn and instruct the people. And now their fate is in their own hands. And that's something you and I need to be sure we're doing as well. God's not going to hold you guilty of the blood of your brother or sister if you witness to them and they don't listen. He won't even hold you guilty if, in trying your best, you don't even do it all that well. But he will hold you accountable if you keep silent. All of us are watchmen. The question is whether or not we're faithful watchmen. Now, the fourth element of Paul's example is something that is intimately tied to his commitment to evangelism. And that was that Paul suffered because of obedience. We see in verses 22 to 23 that there are two things that he says the Holy Spirit is doing in his life. First, the Holy Spirit is compelling him towards Jerusalem. And secondly, through the voices of prophetic believers that he has encountered along the way, the Holy Spirit is revealing that he's going to suffer if he goes to Jerusalem. And what that shows you and me is that our ultimate goal, it's not long life and happiness. No, our ultimate calling in life is to be faithful to declare the message of the gospel. And that may mean having to go through some very unpleasant circumstances, like Paul did. It may mean facing persecution, suffering, imprisonment, maybe even death. But our goal is to strive towards the kingdom of God and the storing up of wealth there. Not becoming comfortable here, because the world is not our forever home. All of it's going to pass away. You know, just recently I watched with my kids the movie Frozen 2. And in it, there's this little magic snowman named Olaf, one of my favorite Disney characters. Maybe because he's a little bit like me, oddly shaped and slightly misunderstood. I don't know. But in this movie, he's having an emotional crisis. He's laying in the grass next to Princess Anna, and he starts pondering the deeper questions of life. And he says to Anna, "Tell me, you're older and thus all-knowing. Do you ever worry about the notion that nothing is permanent?" And Anna replies, no. "Really?" asks Olaf. "Wow, I can't wait until I've aged just like you, so I don't have to worry about important things." And of course, she's a little taken aback by that. But Paul knew exactly what Olaf pointed out, and that is that nothing in this world is permanent. However, there is a world that is. And so if we want to make investments that last, we need to make them there. Now, after revealing to the Ephesian elders what the Holy Spirit has been communicating to him, Paul tells them very frankly that because of this, they're not going to see him again. And this, of course, prompts his declaration that he's innocent of the blood of all men because he had been faithful to warn them of God's truth. Now, that phrase, it prompts me to ask some questions. What about you and me? Have we been faithful to warn people of God's coming judgment? When we get to heaven, are there going to be people there because we had the courage to speak out? Or is there going to be blood on our hands? Have we been faithful watchmen? You know, when I get to heaven, I want Jesus to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want him to say, "Cameron, just look at how much fuller heaven is because you were faithful to do the most important thing I told you to do in the world." I want Jesus to start pulling people from the crowds in heaven. People who will come up to me and say, "Hey, Cameron, you may not know this, but I'm here because of you. Because you took the time, because you had the courage, because you valued me enough to, in whatever small way you could, put my hand in the hand of Jesus." What will be said of you and me? Let that scene so permeate your mind that any fear, any hesitation that might come the next time the Holy Spirit prompts you might evaporate and be squelched by your even greater desire to see that your life made not just a long-lasting impact, but an everlasting impact, an eternal impact. Let's live under that weight of glory. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.